Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
Hey, this is YD from the Ale Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
Excuse me. Is that guy Dave around?
Dave?
No. You know, Dave is not here right now. But if you'd like, you could, just, leave.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave. Open up, man. I got the stuff.
I think Batman and the Joker are like old people, stiff and contrary. I read in this good story that, hey, are you cooking chops? Seriously? We are not running a kitchen, D'Artasia.
Two cheers for all the tears of my manservants. They sort of can smile and always get me the sugar packet. They're like property of mine.
She said it was okay for me to love balloons.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby!
You are listening to The Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity. It's already begun. The fallout, answering the question, flat earth, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, I called it. The LA Times delivered. Texter wants to know why I voted Democrats. I mean, it didn't, but he or she is pretty upset and an anti-Semite. The flat earthers have a new theory to explain things. Believe me, it's stranger than the one they had already. And my God, I just don't even. Here's how you get a hold of me. Text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 565-3283. Email Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And of course, we're on the web. Just look for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and your preferred non-denominational web search browser will take you to thedavebowmanshow.com, as well as podcast99.org, where you can get the show live or on demand. Hey, loqui conizio, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It's the illusion of knowledge. I don't even know where to begin. I really don't. So I have a plan, I really do, but literally, you can just take that plan and go, because... All right. I've watched a lot of politics in my life. I really have. I have watched a lot of, I've gotten to the point now where I'm, last night I turned everything off. Ben and I read books, and he got a dictionary at school the other day for being particularly helpful with something. They gave him a dictionary. And, so we delved into a book that's over his reading. His reading range is 2.9 to 4.1. In the third grade. So we had a book that's 6.1 on their little reading scale. So we were reading that last night. It's about the Titanic, of course, but it had a lot of words that he had, and he had this dictionary. So now, I swear to God, every two words, he's stopping to look up words. Words he knows what means, but he's got a dictionary now, so he's got to use it. So that's what I did last night, because, again, the election was a foregone conclusion. You know how I know how the election was a foregone conclusion? You know how I know? This guy right here. Do you know who that is? That is a guy by the name of Dennis Hoff. Do you know what Dennis Hoff is doing today? Dennis Hoff was a candidate for the Nevada State Senate. Do you know what he's doing right now? He's being buried. He's dead. Yeah, he no longer is alive, but he won the election yesterday. So, really, the mass inertia of voting is predictable enough, I guess, for the most part that, you know, I mean, yeah, you have the occasional Trump over Clinton, the occasional Truman over Dewey. But as a general rule of thumb, we already know how they're going to turn out. So I've gotten to the point now where on election night, I just don't care that much. So I just do other things. And so last night I was doing that. And of course, things went surprisingly, as expected on the House side, although there's still a little fallout to be had from that, on the Senate side, I think everybody was a little bit surprised, although not unpleasantly so. And so we've ended up with the same scenario that we've, I mean, literally, people are mad, people are happy, people are sad, people are excited. I mean, it's just, it's right. I mean, the sun came up this morning, I know, because I went out and watched it. But to some people's reactions, you'd think it was the end of the world. So I was expecting a little bit of a subdued reaction to the whole thing because nobody got what they wanted, right? The Democrats did not take both chambers, so they are not going to be able to block President Obama. Well, it's President Obama's regime, right? President Trump's, they're not going to be able to block his appointments. They've lost that. And they're not going to be able to implement their insane agenda of raising taxes and, you know, collaterally damaging everybody who disagrees with them. It's not my words. Nancy Pelosi said it. So they're not going to be able to do that because they only control the House, not the Senate. So we have in what is my view, the perfect situation, which is basically gridlock, divided government. And someone pointed out this morning, do you realize that most of the worthwhile things that have been done in government over the past generation have been done with a divided Congress? So everybody that's, you know, ready to commit seppuku this morning because they didn't get what they wanted, you slow your roll there, cowboy. It's not the end of the world. The sun came up this morning. It'll set tonight. It'll come up again tomorrow morning. The tides will go in and out. Really, what's changed? Nothing, including, well, the president of the United States. I don't even know where to start. I really don't. I'm on tape. I said this in the summer of 2016. I said, I don't think he'll be a great president for two reasons. One, I personally don't think he has greatness in him as a statesman. But number two, even if he did, the political environment of the day would make sure that it never came out. I mean, remember, the same people that just viscerally hate Trump today are the same people who 4 years ago were crawling to him to get their picture taken with him for money. So the hatred is a little bit phony as well, but at any rate, they're not going to let him be great, even if he had it in him, and I don't think he does. But I did say he may not be great, but he's going to be interesting. You're going to get up every morning and go, what did he say this time? And so I had to run an errand this morning. I had to go, after Ben got on the bus, I had to go run and do something. And anyway, just as I started in the car is when the press conference started. And so I turned on the radio because I couldn't use my DirecTV app to watch the press conference because DirecTV, I'm not shilling for DirecTV or anything like that. DirecTV advertises you can watch anywhere, except that what they really mean is you can watch anywhere that you're connected to your Wi-Fi network, your Wi-Fi. It has to be the same Wi-Fi network your TV is connected to. It can't be just any Wi-Fi network. So since I have unlimited data anyway, I wasn't really worried about that. Plus, I have Wi-Fi in the truck. I thought, well, I'll do that, but of course I can't. So I got to listen to it on radio. So I'm listening to it on the local radio station, which of course leaves it at 9:06 to go to the Rush Limbaugh show. So now I got the first 12, 15 minutes of it. And then after that, what I got was, you know, a 2.5 minute delay with Rush Limbaugh's comments over it. So I just turned it off. Anyway, the first 10 minutes of it was enough to just have me. I really don't even know what to say. I really don't. I get it. I mean, look, every midterm since the 1930s, the president loses seats. I mean, that's one of those political rules that's written in stone. So nobody's surprised when that happens. If you are, you're not paying attention, or maybe you're dead. I don't know. Maybe you're Dennis Hoff and you're lying in your grave. But nobody's surprised by that. So to listening to the president this morning, it was like, I was confused. I was as confused listening to that as I have been by rewatching old Gerald Ford speeches. You know, Gerald Ford had a way with the English language that was, people laugh at George Bush. People go, well, Bushisms, blah, blah, blah. Come on. George Bush had nothing on Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford used to twist syntax and change verb tenses, and Gerald Ford is entertaining. That's the thing. See, Gerald Ford's dead, so everybody loves him. I don't know, man. I watched this. I didn't watch it. I listened to it. I listened to it while I was driving, and I'm so confused. We lost, but it was the greatest loss of all time. It was the most successful loss of all time. And this was the Apollo 13, I guess, of elections, right? A successful failure. I don't know. 9 of the 11 candidates that I campaigned for won. But voters elsewhere, they just wanted higher taxes and more regulations. And I swear to God. And then he gets into it with Jim Acosta over the migrant caravan, which I have it in the stack. I have it in the stuff there to talk about. I probably won't get to it till Friday because tomorrow's Constitution Thursday, and I don't want to detract from that. But the whole migrant caravan thing is bizarre too. But this thing just blew me away. I mean, I texted Pat the lawyer in the middle of it, and are you watching this? And of course he was. And apparently it got better after they switched to Rush Limbaugh's show with Rush commenting on every word that came out of the president's mouth. I turned it off because it was even more confusing. I mean, it was, you know, it's enough to listen to the president sometimes and try to reason what he's saying. But when you have a talk show host talking over him and repeating or commenting on literally every word that comes out of his mouth, it just got too confusing. Plus, I had coffee to drink, so turned that off and came on home and started dealing with getting ready to go. So it just adulting. I had some adulting things I had to do. I hate adulting, but you know, it's part of life, right? So what's the analysis? What's the scoop, Dave? What's happening? What's your opinion about what happened last night? Well, nothing really surprised me. I had a suspicion that, you know, the House was going to shift. I mean, we've been being told that the House was going to shift for the last 6 years. So, I mean, it's like the magnetic poles, right? It's going to shift. Well, we all know that. So when it happens, why are we surprised when it does? I mean, ta-da, it does. You know what? And you know what? It happens every few hundred thousand years. And every few years, the House switched back and forth. And really, I don't have a problem with that. It's by design. Again, I don't believe that there's that much of a difference between a Democrat and a Republican. I was watching the Democrat this morning that is leading. They haven't called the race for her up here, but you know, she sounded just like a Republican. And I'm pretty sure that had they interviewed the Republican, he would have sounded just like a Democrat. So I'm not convinced that there's any difference significantly enough between the two to make that much of a difference, particularly since the houses are split, since the House is in one hand and the Senate is in the other hand, and then the president's in I'd say one hand, but it's almost like a third hand, isn't it? He's almost like a third party president in a lot of ways. Half of his party, quote unquote, hates him. So they're not really helping him. They're not really working with him. So, you know, it's almost like we have a coalition government here in some ways. And frankly, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I really don't. Now, I do think that the rhetoric and the visceral dislike of people is going to ratchet up. I expect that the Democrats. See, here's the problem. The only surprise is that the Republicans gains on the Senate side. And why did they gain things on the Senate side? To that degree, I think the president was correct. I think that the Kavanaugh hearings, watching those, actually did influence some of those races. It would have to. Even if you believe Dr. Ford, even if you accept her story at face value and say, yes, this is true, even if you do all that, okay, even if you do that, the obvious political machinations which the Democrats used that story for make it clear that they didn't give a rat's behind about her. They didn't care about her story. They didn't care about the truth or anything else. All they cared about was delay, get, delay, get, delay, get. That's all they cared about. And their handling of that story was obviously true. And I think that it did affect the Senate race. And I suspect that should Nancy Speaker Pelosi again, pursue the same kind of course again, you might be shooting yourself in the foot. Of course, she doesn't care. She's what, 73, 74 now? Here's my crazy prediction for this. For this Congress, for this upcoming Congress, I think that Nancy Pelosi retires after a year. Let me rephrase that. It wouldn't surprise me if she retired after a year. I mean, she got what she wanted. She got her revenge. She's back in the speaker's seat, presumably. And, you know, power is once again hers. But she's got to know that pursuing that kind of agenda, an agenda which is not about America moving forward, it's not about helping people, it's not about anything, it's just about getting Trump, is going to backfire. To some degree or another, it's going to backfire. Whether it backfires completely, you know, 2020 is coming, it's the most important election ever, the LA Times is already saying. They got a headline out this morning, 2020, the battleground begins. I'm not kidding, I'm not making that up. And with the candidates that the Democrats supposedly have at this point, you're going to have a lot of the same kind of issues again. You're going to have a lot of the same kind of problems. You're going to have a lot of the same kind of arguments and debates. And I just think that the Congress pursuing that kind of agenda at this point would be insane. They're going to do it. I mean, again, they're not going to take advice from me, but if you really want to get rid of Trump, then you should be doing things to win votes and convince people that you can govern, you know, responsibly, but they're not going to do that. So off we go. Again, it wouldn't surprise me if Nancy Pelosi retires. I'm not saying she's gonna, I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if she did. I mean, again, she's well into her 70s. She's regained the speakership. She's accomplished her goal. She retook power. So what's left? I mean, you're not going to get Trump. You're not going to do it. You can pass all the articles of impeachment you want, but you don't control the Senate. You don't. And if you spend all of your time doing that, then believe me, that's going to be a campaign issue. That is going to be pointed out. That is going to be reminded. And again, all you got to do is look at the Senate results from this race, and you understand that that's not a winning strategy. It really isn't. I really believe that the Kavanaugh hearing affected those Senate races to some degree. It almost had to. So at the end of the day, I guess what's really changed in your world today when you get up this morning? Anything really changed? I mean, I literally got up this morning because I usually get up around 6:45 and I went outside and watched the sun rise, and because it rises pretty late now because of not being on daylight savings time. Oh, congratulations, California. California passed a ballot initiative. I don't know what the hell this was, an advisory thing to go to permanent daylight savings time, which I approve of, by the way. I don't have a problem with being permanently on daylight savings time, but it doesn't do that. All it does is direct the legislature to investigate whether or not they can or not, which of course they'll need federal, because it's a federal law. So they will need federal permission to do this, which I don't know. I mean, could you get that law through Congress? I mean, you probably get it through the House. Could you get it through the Senate? And even if you could get it, could you get it past the president? The president's the kind of guy that might just say, no, you voted against me. No, you cannot have permanent daylight savings time. You must continue to shift. Tough me. Poof. Which would be funny. That would be entertaining to me, but there you go. Anyway, nothing's really changed, folks. I mean, sun comes up, the sun goes down. I had written a long piece 2 years ago today. I had a piece that I had written because of the presumption the day before that Hillary Clinton was going to be president. Of course, all of us conservatives were supposed to go out and just hang ourselves at that point. And so I'd written a piece essentially to the same degree that, look, we survived Obama. We survived, you know, we'll survive this. I mean, we still control the House, the Senate. I mean, it's not like one person, theoretically, one person cannot enforce their entire agenda on the country simply by the use of a pen and a phone. We don't like that, remember? and so we'll be okay. And then, of course, I had to rewrite it because things didn't go the way. But it's the same emotion I have this morning, which is that nothing has really changed. Nothing is different. I mean, yeah, the level of vitriol, the level of rhetoric, the level of hatred is still going to be there. I think the people that just absolutely hate Trump, and you know who you are, the same people that, as I said, 5 years ago were crawling to him for his support and his money and his picture and all that kind of stuff. Those people who have been told to hate Trump, they're going to be, Alex was telling me there's pictures out there this morning that are just bizarre because they don't know what to do. They got, you know, it's like asking for something on Christmas or your birthday and getting something that's like it, but not completely unlike tea, right? It's just, it's almost what I wanted, but it's not the right brand or something. We got the House, but we lose seats in the Senate and Trump is still there. It's almost like they got up this morning expecting that Trump would just march out there and resign because he lost the House. Well, he's not going to do that. But it's almost like they were expecting that. So at any rate, those are the elements. Nothing constitutionally, I don't think anything's really, you know, everybody understands the House initiates revenue bills, except that the Senate occasionally does that anyway. The House can pass impeachment articles. All they need is a 50%. They need a 50 plus one, you know, the simple majority to do that. But again, I don't think that's wise politically. I really don't. I mean, you can do it if you want. I'm not going to tell you not to, but at this point, what do you gain? I mean, is it worth the enemies you would create by doing that? I really wonder that. So they could do that, but then they still don't have the Senate. The Senate is going to be securely in Republican hands, won't even need Pence for the tiebreaker, which means that President Obama's nominations for courts are going to go through, which means that treaties are going to go through, which means that really you're not going to get 2/3 of the Senate to convict. Even if you got some Republican votes, it still wouldn't be enough for the 2/3. So your impeachment is really a waste of time. But we're going to spend millions of your dollars on investigations, and we're going to continue to scream and yell about things. And at the end of the day, it really won't be any different than today, will it? Except that the San Francisco Giants will have the former Dodger GM as their new GM. See, that's funny to me. Because as much as you guys hate us Dodgers, when the rubber meets the road, you know where to go to get help, don't you? Is that evil? Sorry. I didn't mean it sound evil. It just sort of did. Anyway, so there's a lot. I mean, you can get a lot of election analysis, and you can get a lot of election this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, nothing has really changed. Nothing has really mattered. Nothing is really going to be any different than it was yesterday. People who hate are still going to hate. People who are going to scream are still going to scream. And people who are going to do whatever they're going to do are still going to do whatever they're going to do. Still not going to impeach him. Still not going to get him on anything. You're still not going to get your judges. You're still not going to do any of those things. Nothing's changed. But for the love of God, how does a dead man win a race? No, see, the thing is, in Nevada, they have a special rule in Nevada. I don't know of any other place that has this. I mean, maybe they do, but I'm not aware of it. But in Nevada, they have a special rule. So this guy kicks off, you know, a week before the election. He, by the way, is famous for owning brothels. He dies, and they continue to campaign for him because under Nevada state rules, the party gets to name his replacement. So the party that wins the seat, Republican-wise, gets to name his replacement. So even though he's dead, they still get to put one in there. And, of course, that was the whole campaign was, yeah, Dennis is dead, but you don't want one of those dirty Democrats taking over this. So keep voting. Keep voting for Dennis. That way we guarantee we hold the seat. So dead men win. I just think that's odd, you know. Again, we've had dead people win races before around the country. It's like people just, this is what I talk about, voter inertia. It's as if voters don't really know what's going on. They're just voting for a letter. They're just voting for a name. They're not really voting for anything worthwhile. They, They just really, at the end of the day, they don't get anywhere. So, oh, well, what are you going to do? So there you go. Election analysis. Nothing's changed. I mean, sure, Nancy Pelosi is going to be the speaker again, but really nothing functionally has changed. Your sun's still going to come up, still going to go down. Tides will go in and out. You'll still go to work today. You'll still come home tonight. Your wife will still love you. Your dog will still love you. Your kids will still love you. The Broncos will still suck this Sunday. And at the end of the day, nothing really important in your world will have changed. They'll make it sound like it has. They'll tell you how it's important it is because, you know, it's the most important election ever. But really, 2020 is the most important election ever. The LA Times has already informed us of that. In fact, it's so important. The 2020 election is so important. Did you know this? So important that California is going to once again move its primary date up so that it can be more, quote unquote, relevant, unquote. I'm not making that up. LA Times today. You can look it up yourself. It's on the internet. You can look it up. 727 days before the 2020 election, the most important election ever. So start sending in your money, start, you know, sending out your mailers. Get ready, because here it comes, the most important election of all time, 2020. It's already started. It really has. Guess we got that to look forward to, huh? Among other things. Got an interesting text yesterday from someone who was mad at me. Demanded to know why I voted for Democrats. Well, number one, you don't know who I voted for, because unless you're breaking into the ballot system and reading my ballot, which would be hard to do because you wouldn't know it was mine anyway. It doesn't have my name on it. But number two, what would be your problem with me if I did? Believe me, this person had a problem with me. Or even if I did. Stay with us. It's the Dave Bowman Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Listen live at podcast99.org. You are listening to The Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back. Tis I, Dave. Post-election Wednesday episode of The Big Show. You want to join me? Air code 209-565. Dave is the text machine. Email remains dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. Of course, we're on the web. Just go to thedavebowmanshow.com or podcast99.org. Get the show live and on demand. And we're also on Facebook. Facebook Live. Facebook.com/The Dave Bowman Show. Twitter. Just look for The Dave Bowman Show. And on iTunes, where if you do download the show, please leave us a rating and a review. That would be greatly appreciated. So I got to read this exactly as it came in, because I know this will surprise many of you, but sometimes I ad-lib when I'm reading a story. If I see a word or something, John and I used to joke about this, and we'd come to a name that we didn't understand. We'd just use a title, make it up. So this was the text that I got late yesterday. It came in, I don't know, probably around 9:30-ish. It was late enough that I wasn't sitting at my computer. I saw it on my phone, and I went, what? So I had to come back in here and look at it. It says, Dave, how come Jews, spelled J-E-E-U-S, don't vote Republican? I'm assuming they meant Republican, but it's spelled Republican. Question mark. The GOP supports Israel and the demon rats don't. Unquote. So that's the question I got. And there was a bit of a further conversation there because I asked, what are you talking about? You Jews vote Democrats. Well, you Jews don't. I certainly didn't. I didn't vote for a party on my ballot at all. I voted for people that I could show supported ideals that I believe in. And if there wasn't somebody on the ballot that did that, in fact, in my congressional race right here, where I actually live, there was only one candidate running, and I didn't vote for him because I don't think he meets the ideals that I have set for those candidates. So I left it blank. There wasn't anybody that you can't write in because of top two stuff. Anyway, this is the kind of thing I've explained this before, but since I got the tax day, I'm going to take a few minutes here, indulge me if you will, and explain to you once again why, quote unquote, the Jews don't vote for Republicans. I know it upsets some of you because you keep saying to me, well, but Republicans support Israel. And so why don't Jews line up to vote for Republicans? Well, there's two reasons why the Jews, as if I could speak for the entirety of my faith. The reality of it is there are two reasons why. The first is a concept which most people generally grasp, but not really. It's called Tikkat HaOlam, and it literally translates as healing the world, healing the earth. And this is a concept in which Judaism has embraced the idea that it is our duty to heal the planet, to heal the earth and everything on it, that we are compelled by our faith, compelled by our belief systems, compelled by what we accept, that it is our job to heal things, that it's our job to restore earth to its Eden-type glory. Now, again, it's a pie in the sky philosophy. It is not. Are there things in the Torah that support it? Of course there are. There are things in the Torah that support the death penalty. So just because there's one and not the other, it's a highfalutin ideal. It flies in the face of thermodynamics. I mean, I get the concept. But the reality of it as a functional theory, to me personally, as a Jew, it's not something I buy into. It's not something I spend my entire life revolving around. But many congregations do. Many congregations accept this. And if you look at the political philosophies of the two parties, the Democrat Party has tailored philosophies that are specifically designed to appeal to people who would accept Tikkat HaOlam, the ideas behind that. It's not that the policies will do that. It's not that they'll actually accomplish it or anything like that, but at least they're trying. Whereas the Republican Party doesn't acknowledge those things. They don't do anything with them. And so it's not a bad thing. It's not a critical thing. It's just that if I have to choose as a Jewish person, and I'm looking at this, if I buy into this philosophy of Tikkat HaOlam, if I'm looking at the two parties, which one supports this ideal? Okay, I'm going to go with that one, regardless of anything else. The second thing is, and I've said this before, and I will keep saying it until I'm blue in the face, because you're not listening to what I'm saying to you. Republicans, shut the fuck up about Israel. Stop telling me you support Israel. Why? Because you don't. Do you understand that? See, when you say you support Israel, what you mean is completely different from what we hear, and really it's completely different from what you mean too. I know you don't think this way. I know you don't understand it. I know that. I get it. I understand that you think it means, well, we send you weapons and arms and we take care of you and everything else. But what it really comes across to us as, and me as well, and I'm a conservative, it comes across to me as, very simply, we support our idea of Israel, what Israel should be, and our eschatology is someday we're going to take over Israel, we're going to rule it with a millennial kingdom, and all you dirty Jews that wouldn't do what we think you should do, we're going to punish you. Don't believe me? Well, how about this from North Carolina yesterday? North Carolina congressional candidate says Jews must accept Jesus as their savior. They must do this. And if they don't do it, well, he says, they will never, ever have peace. in their soul or in their city until they accept Jesus, because I support Israel. That's what he means when he says that. And oh, by the way, this is a Republican candidate who, as of last check, was winning 49.4 to 48.4. There's, you know, it's close. It's, that was as of 2:20, 2:30 this morning. I don't know that that's enough to call it. I don't know that it's been called yet, but he's winning. This is what you're sending to Congress. Republicans, you are sending a guy who says, I support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the First Amendment and all that crap that he really doesn't believe. But then he turns around and says, we must do what he wants us to do religiously, theologically, or else somehow or another, we're going to be punished because we don't agree with him. Well, that's what you mean when you say you support Israel. That's what you actually, that's what we hear. I don't care if you tell me that's not what you mean at all. That's what we hear. Boy, I can't wait for Jesus to come back, put one foot on the Mount of Olives and the other foot on the Temple Mount and punish you Jews for not believing in us. Every knee shall bow, he went on to say, every time. And again, I get that's what you believe. I understand that. It's not what we believe. And you're supposed to live in a country where what I believe and what you believe shouldn't be the dividing point, right? Shouldn't be that. But now you've got congressional candidates out there running. And by the way, he's not the only one. There was apparently somebody noticed this. Again, it's a national thing, so it's unlikely that I would know that. But apparently there were numerous ads being run, similar to this one, where we dealt with Jewish candidates and the implication being that they were being, you know, money. It happened here up in the Pacific Northwest. It happened where this guy was running. And there's, oddly enough, these were, you know, Republican ads around the country, and they all featured Jewish candidates. They didn't feature candidates that weren't Jewish, just the Jewish guy people were holding the money. So there's this subtle undercurrent of anti-Semitism that continues to run through there, that every time you stand there and say, no, no, we support Israel, every time you say that, we got to come back to, nope. What you mean when you say you support Israel is we better accept your faith, we better accept your religion, or else we're going to be punished. You want to know why Jews don't vote for Republicans? Even if you argued Tikkat HaOlam, you know, there's enough of us around that recognize the reality of that situation, but you can't get around that one. I've sat at tables with Republicans who believe that, who have said to me privately off the record, Dave, I don't know why you converted. I don't know why you're going to be, you know, what's going to happen. No, I don't. That's why I converted. I know what you believe is going to happen. I don't happen to believe that. Sorry, but I just don't. And so you run into this whole situation here where you keep saying that we support Israel. My advice to the Republican Party and to Republican candidates and to Republican people who support Republicans, shut up about Israel. Stop talking about it. You don't really support Israel. You really don't. What you support is your eschatological vision of what Israel will be, which is Christian. That's what you support. And in doing so, what you're saying is there's no place for you dirty Jews in our Christian Israel. If you would shut up about it and just talk about the actual issues involved, you may find better traction. You may find people like me out there who look at Tikkat HaOlam as an interesting idea and a high-minded ideal, but functionally impractical and impossible. There's no way to restore Earth to Eden. It's not going to happen. Does that mean we should be careless? No. Does it mean we should destroy things just because we can't? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But this idea that somehow or another the oceans are going to stop rising, the glaciers are going to stop melting, you know, come on, that's absurd. But when you start saying things like, code language that we're going to punish you for not believing the way we believe. Believe me, we hear that. Believe me, that's what we hear. It's so absurd and it's so ridiculous and it's so frustrating because Republicans, generally speaking, equate sending arms to Israel with supporting Israel. If you put it in political terms, you're supporting an ally against the Islamic terrorist. If you talk about it in those terms, fine. When you start talking about how you love Israel, we support Israel, and we love Israel, we love me some Israel, what we hear is, you better accept Jesus or you're going to be punished in our new Christian Israel. And we can't wait to have that happen. We can't wait to make that so. And your candidates are out there saying that. That, my dear friend and texter, is why Jews, you know, because you put two E's in it, don't vote for Republicans. Because what we hear is a bunch of anti-Semites who can't wait to beat us with rods and sticks because we don't accept Jesus the way you do. You want Jews to vote for Republicans? Stop talking about it. Stop talking about that. Just like everybody else, I mean, when you make everything about religion, it's a problem. It's your problem, not ours. But at the same time, until you understand how you're communicating with people, this is, you know, I've said this about African-American voters, too, because I get that all. That's the one I always get when I was on the radio. Why don't African-Americans vote Republican? I don't know, because you keep talking about the 10th Amendment, states' rights. And every time you talk about states' rights, what does naturally an African-American probably hear? What state right was being fought for in the Civil War? There was only one. They weren't fighting for the right to impose tariffs on imports. They weren't fighting for the right to maintain roads. They weren't fighting for the right to determine their own state budget. They were only fighting for one state right. But you don't hear that, do you? You don't hear that. What you hear is what you want to hear. And you never take into account the fact that other people might not see things quite the same way as you do. And then you go out there as a candidate and you say stupid things like Jews must convert. Jews must believe in Jesus. Jews must do this. And then you say, why won't they vote for me? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I might agree with everything you have to say politically. I might have agreed with everything that this guy supports. I wouldn't vote for him. I'm not saying I'd vote for his opponent, but I wouldn't vote for him. You know, it's like having a neighbor. They're still your neighbor, but when they say something stupid, you don't want to talk to them. You just don't want to. So there you go, Texture. I've answered your question probably more extensively than you ever wanted to, and I doubt seriously that you'll understand it or agree with it. No doubt you're typing your next text right at the moment or email to explain to me why I'm wrong and going to hell. Fine. I'm sure you'll be right there next to me. And we can commiserate together then. Speaking of stupid people, sorry, that's a hell of a transition, huh? Speaking of stupid people, so the flat earth people, oh my God, they drive me insane. They really do. They drive me nuts. Now, here's the thing about flat earth people. I don't believe that flat earth people really believe that the earth is flat. I think it's just a gigantic troll. I really do. So I'm not sure why we fall for it. Except that there are people who have equally insane beliefs out there that they do believe. The 6,000-year-old earth people, the anti-vaxxers. These are people they all believe in these insane things, but they have a true belief in them. I'm not convinced that flat earthers really believe that the earth is actually flat. The preponderance of the evidence is, I mean, literally, do you understand how delusional you would have to be to actually believe that the earth is actually flat? So they've come up with a new theory now because so many holes have been shot in the plate theory, right? You know, where the earth is flat like a plate and everything from, well, how do you keep, you know, Antarctica, I guess, surrounds the memes about the cats pushing. If the earth was really flat, the cats would push everything off. Just funny. So they've come up with a new theory. You ready for this? They've come up with a new theory to explain Well, my favorite one was the shaded sun, the sun that has like a, it's like a lamp that has a shade around it. And so that's how you get day and night. They've come up with a new theory. Ready? The Earth is a donut. Yep. Not kidding. They have come up with this now. The donut Earth theorists are what we're calling them now. I have a theory that this guy, by the way, his name is Varag. I have a theory that the Earth is in fact shaped like a torus, a donut shape. However, the light is curved. Einstein was right. The light is curved. So we can't tell that it's shaped like a donut because light curves. Why has the donut never been discovered, you might ask? Well, that's because light bends. It follows the curvature of the donut, making the hole in the middle of the donut, quote, unseeable, unquote. Day and night? Well, if you lay a torch horizontal on a table and turn it on, now get a donut and place it on its side with the hole perpendicular to the torch, the side that's illuminated by the torch is in the day, he explains. And gravity? Gravity acts as it does as in a round earth model. People are attracted to large masses. Imagine a donut. Imagine a jam donut. Gravity acts towards the jam, he says. I don't know, man. Some days you get up in the morning and you think, well, the world's different. The world's changed. The Democrats are in charge of the House now. It's the apocalypse. Everything is over. And then somebody floats this on you and says, Dave, the Earth is a donut. Right? The Earth is actually a donut. Now I'm hungry. Now I want a donut. Now I just want to go out and get a... I do not like jelly-filled donuts. I don't. Some years ago, John and I did a fun with news story where there are people that believe that there is a hole in the earth near the poles. Do you remember this story? There are people that believe, not only do they believe that there's a hole in the earth, I guess, at the North Pole, but there's an entire civilization that lives down inside the hull. I guess it would be a hull, but down inside the hole, there's a whole civilization that believes that down inside that hole, there's people that believe that there's an entire civilization. And of course, it's an alien civilization, so it's more advanced than we are. But even being more advanced, they can't figure out how to get out of the hole. I don't know where these people come up with this stuff, folks. I really don't. But they do. They come up with it every... So every time you shoot a hole in their theory, their flat earth theory, they got to come up with a new one about how now it's round, not like a donut. I like donuts with chocolate frosting and sprinkles. Anybody else? I like the raised donut, not the cake. Cake donuts are okay, but I like my cake donuts plain. But my favorite donut is a raised donut, not glazed, with chocolate icing and sprinkles on it. And trust me on this one, and I say this with love up here in the Great Pacific Northwest, nobody up here, not even Voodoo Donuts, makes a good chocolate sprinkled donuts. They just don't. Since I left Modesto, I haven't had a Mr. T's donut since then, and Mr. T's had nailed that donut. They knew how to make that donut. But God bless America, nobody up here does. It's sad. It's really sad. We also don't have really good Mexican food up here. We have a couple of good Mexican restaurants, but not great Mexican food. So I'm missing that as well. And, you know, things are going great, but every now and then I miss my old stomping grounds, the great Central Valley of California, especially when I get up at 6:45 in the morning and it's like 20 degrees out. I'd much rather have it be. Ben and I were talking last night about, yeah, I kind of miss the summer heat. I really do. I know it sounds like a strange thing to say, but I miss it. The Earth is a donut. I started by being stunned into silence by the press conference this morning and just open mouth guffaw at some of what I was seeing, and I end it the same way with the donut shaped Earth. Which makes absolutely no sense to me at all, none. But that's the way the day has gone. Nothing makes sense and nothing has really changed. Nothing's any different and it'll still be that way tomorrow when you get up. The world will still be the same. So go forth and enjoy it, my friends. Go forth and celebrate. Go forth and be happy. Go forth and be excited. Be fruitful. Multiply. All that stuff. Now I want Mexican food and donuts for lunch. Good thing is, it's still a free country, so I can. And I shall do that. We're coming up on Friday, we're going to have a pre-recorded show. Friday is it's the Veterans Day celebration at my son's school, and they do a program, so I've got to go to that. I get to go to that. And I don't want to miss it. So part of the reason I left radio was because I got tired of missing stuff for my kids, so I'm not going to miss stuff. But we will have a pre-recorded show for you. So if you're, I guess it'll run live. I mean, it's set up to go. The fire right at 11 or 10 o'clock. So, which was 11 o'clock last week. I know, I get it. But, you know, anyway, daylight savings time, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, that'll be Friday. Tomorrow's Constitution Thursday. I don't have a clue what we're looking at, but there's several good cases out there we'll talk about. And we'll do that. So that's what's coming up the rest of the week. I got to get running. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. So don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I am Dave Bowman. And this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the podcast, 99 Internet Radio Network. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, which might be different. There might be three or four different Pacific times here pretty soon if you're keeping track of all that. That's kind of funny, too. Anyway, we'll be back 10 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow for Constitution Thursday. Have a great day, everybody. Make sure you check us out at podcast99.org, thedavebowmanshow.com, and on Facebook and Twitter and iTunes. Remember, if you download the show, leave us a rating and a review. We'd greatly appreciate that. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.